Welcome to the Medicinal Herbs Podcast from HolisticMatters.com. This month, we're talking about winter immunity, including specific herbal approaches to chronic immune depletion, prophylaxis, acute infection, and recovery. Naturopath and medical herbalist Barris Burgoyne brings her 32 years of clinical practice to the conversation, led, of course, by our host, Sarah Lebrun-Blaschke.
As we enter kind of into our wintry mix here in the United States, we start thinking about the holidays and many other aspects, and that leads us to thinking about immunity. And we're excited to have Barris Burgoyne with us again, who is an herbal expert who has really researched and thought a lot about immunity and how specifically in this time of year we think about that. So welcome, Barris. So great to have you again.
Thank you very much. It's a wonderful pleasure to be here.
So, Barris, in the United States, it is wintertime. You guys are in your summer. But as we think about winter here and we start thinking more about some of large family gatherings and yes. other aspects about being inside with larger groups, we really want to think about how we can decrease that risk of, you know, respiratory infection. So what are some approaches that you've taken in your clinic to help your patients with that?
Look, one of the first things I talk to patients about coming into the winter months particularly, but, you know, in the past couple of years, we've realized how important immunity is all the time, not just in the winter months. But, you know, that's a time when we tend to focus on it a little bit more. And I just remind my patients that there's a lot of lifestyle things that will affect immunity and that are very easily controlled in most cases. So, you know, if we're not getting enough sleep, our immune system's going to be deficient. If we're just overly stressed and not managing that very well, and we can't always manage it, we can only do our best, but that also depletes immunity. If we're not eating well, that will deplete immunity. So there's a range of things that we can do in our everyday lives, apart from taking any sort of supplements, that really enhance the health of our immune system. Exercise is important, and that doesn't mean, you know, running a marathon once a week. It just means doing some moderate exercise most days and just not sitting around at a computer or on the couch all the time doing other things as well. And we know that if you've got mental health issues, if you're feeling depressed or anxious, any of that will also have a detrimental effect on the immune system. So often when we're dealing with patients, we're not just treating the immune system, we're dealing with underlying factors as well. But one of the simple things that people can do, and this was really been highlighted in the last couple of years, is when there's infection around, wash your hands very frequently, because we know that a lot of viral infections are spread by aerosols, and they can land on, you know, all sorts of surfaces that we're constantly coming into contact with. So wash your hands frequently. And there's good evidence to show that that is very, very effective in reducing infections. And also if you have members of your household who have got an infection, particularly a viral infection, just make sure that you're wiping down surfaces regularly in areas where the family congregate a lot. So the living room, the kitchen, etc., just to try and minimize the chance of spread of infection. So there's some very, very simple things that we can all do that costs us no money. They're just lifestyle things. And I think they're very, very important. And often they're not thought about.
Yeah, I think especially like getting out and getting exercise, because then you also help your vitamin D status too.
Absolutely. Where
we live yeah. in Wisconsin. If you can get a little sunlight, helps your mood, helps your vitamin D, helps to improve your immune system, right?
Absolutely. And if you think you're mm-hmm. not getting enough sunlight, have your vitamin D tested and supplement. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. even I live in Queensland, which is the sun cancer capital of the world. We get so much sun. And, you know, a lot of my patients have their vitamin D is low. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we can think we're getting enough sun, or perhaps we are getting what is considered enough sun, but it's really not doing the job. So,
yeah, I think that's a really important aspect too. So as we think about herbs to support our immune system during this season, what would be those herbal supports that we would really target?
Okay, look, it depends where our patients are with their immunity. And, you know, for many of my patients will already be on immune support ongoing, people that have chronic immune depletion, or maybe, you know, they're recovering from a viral infection like Epstein-Barr virus or something like that, and not really recovering well, they'd be on long-term immune support. When we're going into winter for those patients, I would say, okay, continue on this. It's even more important now. But I would also give them some supplements to help them if they feel like they're getting ill, if they're getting an acute respiratory mm-hmm. infection. So, you know, I would give them a really common combination that I would use for that chronic immune depletion, for prophylaxis, but also for recovery after a viral or bacterial infection, would be a combination of astragalus, eleuthero, and echinacea. And these combine really well in that sort of chronic immune depletion state. Mm-hmm. And with the astragalus and the eleuthero and the echinacea as well, actually, we do have adaptogenic support as well that supports the HPA axis. So that's a lovely combination. I sometimes use cat's claw in that situation as well. I may combine it with the astragalus combination. And sometimes I'll use the mushrooms. Ganoderma and shiitake, for example, are very good for chronic immune depletion. Then I tell people if they're taking any of those, I say, look, take these other supplements as well. And that's, I usually give them something that contains andrographis, because that's a fantastic supplement for acute infection. And I tell them, if you feel like you're getting an infection or you've succumbed to something, then stop the long-term support and move over to the combination with the andrographis. And that often has echinacea and often holy basil as well. And most commonly, I'll give that in a tablet form, because for the acute, we want to be dosing with the, you know, at the acute dose. And that's usually a little bit higher, and you get much better compliance if people are on tablets. With the longer term support of the astragalus, eleuthero, echinacea, I'll often use it in tablet, but I'll often use it in a liquid formulation that I blend myself as well. So that's a nice way for people to actually manage their immune systems. And, you know, I might just have patients that come and see me for stress or whatever they might be coming to see me for. And if we're going into those winter months, I'll just say, look, your immune system's going to be quite depleted at the moment. So then I give them some long-term support as well, just to try and pick their immune system up before we go into those winter months, so they stand much better chance of being able to fight off an infection. We'll all come into contact with these infections, but it's just how our immune system actually deals with them that is important.
So, you know, as you kind of were explaining, there is, you know, like earlier stages, you're giving different herbs. So can you maybe just define, like, you know, when I first maybe have a symptom, what is that specific herb versus, and why I would take that versus why, like, you know, I'm convalescing or recovering, why I would take that herb. Can you kind of explain that, you know, across the continuum?
Sure. Often for respiratory infection, the first symptom people get is a sore throat. Or some people will feel like at the back of their throat, they're getting that thick, sticky mucus. You know, we all know for ourselves individually what those signs are. And patients will often tell you, you know, I always get a sore throat before I'm going to get sick. So I tell people at the very first sign, if you start getting a sore throat, swap over or start the andrographis combination. Don't wait to see, oh, am I really getting sick? Start it immediately so you can hit it early, because the earlier we can start treating something with those acute herbal remedies, the less chance you're going to develop into a full-blown respiratory infection. So the reason we don't necessarily use the astragalus eleuthera echinacea in the acute, and I tell people if they're taking that to stop them and start the andrographis combination, is that, look, generally in Western herbal medicine, we consider it's not a good idea to use the astragalus and the eleuthero in acute infection, particularly if there's elevated body temperature. And you will, though, see in traditional Chinese medicines, where these herbs come from, that they are sometimes used in acute infection, not always, but sometimes. But I think when we train in Western herbal medicine, it's really best to avoid doing this unless we're well trained in traditional Chinese herbal medicine and we understand the subtleties of how they diagnose and prescribe herbs in that system of medicine, because it's very, very different to how we do it. Echinacea can definitely be used in the prophylaxis, recovery, and acute. And in fact, it works much better if you're already taking it when you get an infection. But if you're taking echinacea and you contract a viral infection, for example, echinacea often is not enough on its own to deal with it, particularly if that infection really gets hold of you. And that's why I use the andrographis with the echinacea in that acute, because that seems to really deal with the infection much, much more quickly. And that doesn't mean that people aren't going to get sick. They may still get the symptoms of influenza or head cold or whatever it is, but in many cases, the symptoms will be less severe and the recovery will be much quicker. And, you know, I see that in my patients. I see it with my own personal experience. If I happen to get the flu, and I will start taking the andrographis combination very quickly and at the acute dose. And I remember one day complaining to a friend, I've been sick for 2 days, you know. And this friend said, listen, people with this have been sick for 2 weeks, you know. So we can really reduce the severity of it and reduce the duration of it. Doesn't mean that we're not necessarily going to get sick. So that's the point that I stress to my patients mm-hmm. as well.
I've known people to recommend it, you know, almost as a prophylactic too, to use it ahead of time, like when they're traveling or they're stuck in places that they know that they would, you know, have more exposure. You know, would you do that also?
And then you can do that. Yes, you can. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, at times I will use the andrographis combination prophylactically, mm-hmm. particularly when I'm traveling. But mm-hmm. I always add extra echinacea to it as well. But, yeah, at vulnerable times, then it doesn't hurt to do that. And then you've already got it in your system. And then if you feel like you're getting sick, you just increase the dose to the acute sort of dosage. Okay. The other thing that we can do, both prophylactically, if we feel like we're at risk, but particularly in the acute, if we think it's a viral infection, and most commonly in winter, it's going to be a viral infection, mm-hmm. We can use antiviral herbs as well, like St. John's wort, thuja, licorice, etc. And I will often use those if I feel like I'm getting sick as well, or if I feel like I'm at risk. So, for example, over the last couple of years, if I've sort of maybe been out and in a crowded place, then if I know that's going to happen, I will load myself up with the andrographis, the antiviral herbs for a day or two before I go, and for a day or two after, just to really protect myself. But otherwise, I would usually take the echinacea prophylactically.
Awesome. So kind of in that as we recover phase, then what would be those herbs? I interrupted you, I know, during like your discussion. I think you were getting to that part of kind of the different stages.
Well, look, the recovery is really the same as a prophylaxis, really. Mm-hmm. Is I love the astragalus, Eleuthero and echinacea combination, and it just works wonderfully when people are recovering. It'll help pick energy up because of the adaptogenic tonic effects, but really good immune activity and adaptogenic activity there, that adaptogens increase well-being, etc. We could use ashwagandha there as well in that recovery phase, and I often combine the astragalus combination with ashwagandha, which is absolutely one of my favorite herbs. And I often think, you know, when you see old movies, particularly of, you know, involving more wealthy people, if people got sick, they would go off to the seaside somewhere, or maybe if they're in Europe, in Switzerland or somewhere, they would be going up into the mountains for a couple of weeks to convalesce. And convalescing is a great idea, but we don't get to do it very often with our busy lifestyles. So I always think that these adaptogenic immune herbs really do some of the convalescing for us when we actually can't stop and rest in a really idyllic place for a couple of weeks.
You know, you talked a little bit about like virus as a specific where you would use some of those viral supporting herbs, but in the early phase, is there other herbs that you haven't discussed maybe that you would use in that early phase to make sure that we kind of are able to stop it?
Yes, look, one of the actions, and this is often forgotten even by doctors, is this the idea of diaphoresis. And that means that if you have a temperature, or if your body is heading towards a temperature or trying to have a temperature, the diaphoretic herbs help the temperature do its job. It helps it get to where it should be, do its job and resolve so that you're not stuck in it. And of course, the idea of a fever when we're ill, that's one of the ways that the immune system helps to fight an infection. So it's really important that we allow that to happen and encourage it in a controlled way, and the diaphoretic herbs do that. And look, we have a lot of them, and many of them you might even have at home as herbal teas, like peppermint, lime flowers, yarrow, for example. Ginger's a diaphoretic as well. And when we use diaphoretic herbs, it's really good if we're using, say, peppermint and yarrow, for example, it's good to combine that with something like ginger, or maybe garlic, or chili, some sort of really more heating, stimulating herb that just helps the diaphoretic herbs do their job much quicker. It's also good to take diaphoretic herbs in hot water. So if you're making a herbal tea, it's going to be hot, of course. But if you're using these herbs as liquid extracts, for example, then put the extract into a little bit of hot water to drink it. If you're using tablets, then make sure that you have some hot water at the same time as you're having them. And something I tell my patients to do, which I absolutely love and is very effective, is just to make a drink with lemon juice, maybe the juice of half or one lemon, depending on how juicy it is. Chop up or grate up some fresh ginger in there. The same with garlic, chop up a little bit of fresh chili. That's optional. And if you want to, you can put a bit of honey in it, pour some hot water over it, boiling water, put a lid on the cup and let it just steep for 10 minutes or so covered, and then you can drink it. And that is a fantastic diaphoretic drink. And so one of the things with putting the garlic in there is that garlic has a lot of volatile compounds, and it's thought that some of those volatile compounds, when we're breathing them in from the steam or when we're taking them in, those volatile compounds are beneficial as well, because they can get into the airways, into the lungs, where they can exert local activity. So that, I love that drink, and when I have it, I then, you know, eat the chili, garlic and ginger out of the bottom with a spoon, because I love that. But that's something that people often have those things at home. If they don't have the fresh ginger, for example, use powdered ginger if you've got it. The same with chili. So these things are often available in the home, and that's what I get people to do. Try and use what they've got at home for this and get them into the habit of doing it.
That's great. Yeah, all those tricks to help your immune system that you can implement at home is, I think, so important, you know, and it gives you kind of this sense of, like, I can do it myself and improve, you know, myself and my family's health. So I really love
those things. That's right. It empowers people. But that using that diaphoretic activity really can make a big difference in how quickly you can deal with an infection, no matter what else you might be taking or what else you might be doing. If you can get onto that diaphoresis the minute you feel that you've got a temperature, or if you've got chills, you know, we often get chills before we get a fever, and any of those stages, then you do it. But it's also important then to rug up and sweat it out, basically. Don't then go out into the breeze after you've had your diaphoretic drink or the cool night air, because that will negate the benefits of it. Just rug up and rest.
I think we might need a translation for rug up. I think that means like wrap up, get
wrap
in
up,
your book.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Or do the best you can. Do the best you can.
Yes. Yes. That's awesome. Rug up. I might do that tonight just to stay warm. It's a bit cold here. Can you talk a little bit about maybe a situation where maybe what we've talked about just isn't enough and maybe you need to do some other additional support? You know, what would that look like in a patient?
That's a really good question. And, you know, as practitioners using natural remedies, we always have to be aware that sometimes what we're doing will not be enough, whatever it is we're treating, and we need to be able to recognize that and refer people on. I think that's really important, not to get stuck thinking, oh, I'll just keep going with this or I'll increase the dose. There comes a point where you have to say, no, what I'm doing is not enough and you need to go to the doctor. And I've done that with patients a lot of times over my 32 years of clinical practice. And I remember once I had one of my existing patients call me and she said, look, I'm not well. I've been to the doctor and he said I've got bacterial pneumonia. He wants to give me antibiotics. I don't want to take them. You know, what can you do? And I said, go back to the doctor and get the antibiotics. And when you've taken the antibiotics, come back and see me, and we will deal with the effects of the antibiotics, particularly on the gut. Because, you know, pneumonia is not something that you want to be messing around with. She wasn't a young woman. She was, you know, significantly ill. So I think we have to be responsible. Or sometimes, you know, I've had people come to my clinic and just say, look, I'm, you know, I've got this or I've got that, and what can you give me? And I just say, look, I think you need to go to the doctor and get antibiotics for that. And none of us think about antibiotics lightly, because they are way overprescribed. But, you know, I think in this whole discussion about antibiotics and the overprescribing of them and the resistance that we're seeing, one of the things that is often forgotten is that antibiotics are life-saving drugs in some situations. And we need to remember that and use them when necessary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was interesting. I was at a seminar this weekend and we were talking about the microbiome and, you know, how antibiotics, specifically in dermatology, get overused. But we know, as your point, like if somebody has pneumonia, bacterial pneumonia or whatever, then they are needed. But then you just need to support the gut afterwards, right?
Absolutely. And I've got another patient who, you know, she doesn't get viral respiratory infections very often, but often when she does, she will start recovering from that quite well, usually with the herbs, and then she will get this raging sore throat, and that is always bacterial. and it doesn't always respond to the herbal treatment. So then she goes, she gets antibiotics to deal with the bacterial throat infection, and then we help her recover from the use of the antibiotics. I mean, it's very, very important. And, you know, people with sore throats have died because they end up getting toxic shock syndrome very quickly. And, you know, so I just think, I don't want to be scaremongering, but I think we need to be aware of these things. You know, we talk about practicing holistic medicine, and I think that's part of practicing holistic medicine is taking all treatments available to the patient into account and referring on where it's necessary.
Yeah, I think that's an important point. Well, as we kind of wrap it all up, so we've talked a lot about, you know, supporting overall immune health and then when it progresses. So what would be kind of your parting words to help our practitioners really understand, you know, like where, what is those key pearls that they really should implement as they go into their practice after they listen to our podcast?
Well, I think one of the most important things is educate and remind your patients about what they can do in their everyday lives to keep their immune system strong. I think something else we need to consider is the quality of herbal medicines. And often people just go and buy something over the counter, which is absolutely fine if it's good quality. And in my experience here in Brisbane is that one of the most common supplements people will buy over the counter to keep their immune systems up is echinacea because it's so well known. And of course, it's a good herb for that, but it's only a good herb if it's good quality. And, you know, I've had patients say to me that, look, I've taken echinacea and it doesn't work. And I say, well, it may not have been good quality. So, and patients who sometimes say, look, I've got echinacea at home, and I say, great, but what I want you to do, if it's a tablet, I want you to go home and suck that tablet. If it gives you a tingling sensation in the mouth, great. If it doesn't give you a tingling sensation when you suck it, it's no good, and I'll give you some better ones. So I think the quality, educating our patients about quality as well, and echinacea, of course, is such an easy herb to determine quality because the alkylamides, the main constituent in it that supports immunity, gives that tingling sensation in the mouth. So it's very easy to assess, is it good quality or not? And I tell my patients, if you've got echinacea, you suck the tablet and you don't get a tingle, throw it in the trash because it's not worth taking as far as your immunity goes.
That is, I think, a really important aspect because it's a simple way to understand, is it an effective echinacea? So I love that. I know when you take liquid, sometimes it's a lot, right? That tingle can be a lot. So it's important to know if it's effective or not. Well, Barris, thank you so much for all of this information in regards to the immune system. And, you know, this is such an important topic as we move into the holidays and everybody is indoors in bigger crowds. And we want to make sure that their overall health is really supported. So thank you so much for that information.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, as always, for listening to the Medicinal Herbs Podcast from Holistic Matters. For more learning, including the herbs that Barris and Sarah discussed today, go to holisticmatters.com. That's holistic with a W.